It's a 40 in a paper bag.
It's a 40 in a paper bag. You're totally right. Yep. It's a 40 ounce.
It's a 40 ounce.
That's something everyone can enjoy outside with a paper bag.
That speaks. Stew. That is New York. That you get it at a bodega, and anybody can have it.
A single beer,
a 40 ounce beer in a paper bag.
It's a working woman's drink. The real woman's drink in New York is a 40 ounce, or as we used to call it, a 40. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is. Or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, well, I want to go ahead and kick off with just some quick Olympic penis news.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you hear about this?
No, I did not. Okay,
so apparently, it's so sad, it was a pole vaulter. Of all people.
Oh,
so his says his Olympic bid was sabotaged by his own dick, his own penis.
His own?
So
you'd think it would be an asset to him
what he's doing.
What he's doing, right.
So generally they're saying that for men, the penis is a liability when you're doing athletic activity. So you should always have it wearing a cup, a dancer's belt, whatever you want to call it, have it tucked away.
And the guys get to say, this is a giant liability.
Yes. Or in this case.
What?
So, so it says this guy was from Japan. He's a Japanese athlete, Hiroko Okita. And there was a qualifying round for pole vaulting.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already at the Olympics, but I guess once you get there, then you have to qualify again for some of these activities. I don't know. He's a pole vaulter. So
you can't stress that enough.
Yes. He's a pole vaulter. I just thought it was so fascinating because I didn't really watch much of the Olympics, and I don't watch sports in general, but the pole vault is kind of a weird thing. Like, have you ever tried it?
What?
In high school. Do you know you do track? They make you do everything like
that. I'd mess
one
up my
time.
Hair if I did that. Are you kidding? We're not going anywhere near that.
I just remember we had to each try it. I just kept running with the pole. Never put the pole down. Like, I got up to the thing, I chickened out, just ran right by it. I was like, that's it. That's all I can do. Better than some of my classmates who got the pole onto the ground, went up, and then just came right back down. like they didn't have enough forward motion.
Not enough oomph to clear anything.
That's
hilarious.
Apparently he was doing the qualifying round, and he got up and over it. And then they're saying technically it was his leg, so his leg hit it. But then you can see in the picture.
It was his third leg.
The tip of his penis was sticking out just a little bit, and that's what apparently knocked the pole off. The top. And there's a picture of it.
I'm turning my head like I can't.
It's like just the tip literally hit it and it was like, boop, party over. So if he had tucked it
in,
talk to drag queens people.
Yeah.
You know, people who tuck professionally.
Yeah, they would have great advice on how to do this comfortably.
How to put it away comfortably. Because drag queens have to tuck for hours and hours.
Hours, and they're dancing.
Yeah, and you see a lot of drag queens doing swimsuit, you know what I mean? Things that are very revealing, and you never see a penis. Mm-hmm. I have not either.
And
I watch
RuPaul's
commend them for that. Yeah.
Drag Race.
You never
can't
see anything.
A thing.
Scrotum, nothing. A bulge, nothing. So, unfortunately, this guy, it was ruined by his penis, and everyone saw it. There's like a good close-up picture of the peen. Sticking out, hitting the pole.
And it was like done repeat on
Of course, it's like a vine.
Yeah.
At this point. So it's just, you know, beware, gentlemen. Learn how to tuck correctly. You know? Anyway, that's my penis news. His penis was not his friend in that case.
No.
I feel bad. That's the worst. I understand as a woman that boobs get in the way all the time.
Oh, they do.
I can't tell you how many times I've hit someone with a boob or I've like hit something with it and you're just like, sorry, that's how it is.
Yeah. And then, and the dreaded breast crumbs.
Yes, the breast
that
crumbs.
I get all the time.
I get them too.
I think all women get them. But it's like you have to really immediately look down after you eat and brush it away because you can walk around like a breast crumbs for hours.
Yeah, you have like a nice shelf, like a sandwich up there, some hors d'oeuvres, you know, something to drink. Yeah. So just, gentlemen, just tuck and cover, I guess, is the word for today. So what do you have?
Well, I have this article.
Okay.
It says, wealthier homes have more kinds of bugs.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, research supports the luxury effect in which higher-income neighborhoods host more biodiversity.
That's what they're calling it? It sounds like they're dirtier. Rich people are funky and dirty is what it sounds like. So, but it's biodiversity.
Yeah. Yeah, ecologists spend most of their life studying these far-off exotic places, but we rarely think about wildlife in our homes. Mm-hmm. We're actually surrounded by wildlife, especially bugs, when we're indoors. And now a new study shows that wealthier homes have more types of bugs, including insects and spiders, okay. more than so in less expensive homes.
Okay. So in our homes, we have just the basic house like fly, you know, maybe a fruit fly.
Yeah, so we're spending more of our time, about 90% of our time indoors. I say 80%.
But 90% of the
they're
time?
They're saying 90, but other studies have showed 80 that okay. I read.
I try to get as much as possible outside.
Yeah. But no, but it's really between work and then sleeping and all of that, 80% of your time is inside.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I think that's really bad. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So they didn't know. The scientists had relatively little knowledge about the ecology of the habitats we created for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then...
Because they couldn't get into rich people's houses, probably. Who would let a scientist into their home to, like, do some bug collecting? Like, not me.
Well, they say that higher-income neighborhoods have a higher diversity of vegetation than lower-income neighborhoods. So there's more vegetation around.
Okay.
All kinds of different plants and different things that
okay,
people are
like
bringing into the
fancy gardens
homes.
And
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, so...
So it's not like they went out to the Hamptons and a fancy Hamptons roach got in their suitcase.
Right,
comes back
right.
To the Upper West Side.
Yeah, so they sampled rooms, they went into homes at Raleigh, North Carolina, actually.
Okay.
And it was 50 different types in a less wealthy home.
Okay, that's already too many.
Yeah.
Okay, so there are 50 different kinds of bugs.
And 61 in the wealthy ones. So
wow.
11 different bugs.
More.
You know this sentences I like to talk.
More different bugs. So did they say what some of the bugs are? Like, are there some bugs that prefer a higher income neighborhood? Or did they say what kind of bugs they are? Like, what's the breakdown? They just said there's
no,
more.
No, there's just more.
And better.
Yeah. Classier. Super classy.
Yeah. The roach is a cleaner.
Yeah. It's really about the plant species that are around, that are inside and outside.
So is it
more bugs.
Positive or negative or just neutral? Just more.
Just more.
Just more.
Just more, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
I thought it was funny. But no, yeah, there was no color to the article
qualifier.
Saying anything. It was just really just talking about it and not saying if it was good or bad. Or
I feel like if it had been the other way, if they'd found that there were more different kinds of bugs in poor people's homes, they would have been like, this is terrible. Look at the poor.
What is the sentence that I said? More different kinds? More something?
I'm saying mo different. Mo different bugs. So I have something here. A while ago, you brought up dreams. Mm-hmm. And I said that I used to have this dream where a bear and a wolf were in the front yard growling at each other.
Okay.
And it was raining fire from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking out. They look at me. I'm just like, wrong room.
Mm-hmm.
And I go about my business. Like, I don't see anything. The dream never goes past that.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, it's bizarre because a wolf and a bear, in my mind, don't fight. I am wrong. I found an article here.
Well, first of all, I just have to interject that you need that on a t-shirt.
Wolf and a bear fighting.
Like,
no, angry at each other.
Yeah.
They're not engaging in the fight yet, but they have beef.
Okay. Well, they could just be giving each other side eye.
Yeah.
How about that?
With the fire, raining fire from the sky.
And do it on, and then get a painting and do it on black velvet.
I would like to have it on the side of a van, actually. I think you didn't go far enough.
Okay.
All right. So this is a little barnyard news. We write to report on animals that are in the barnyard, some that are out. This is a wolf-bear extravaganza piece of news. Apparently in the taiga forest, which is in Finland, but also Russia, it's a huge, it's called the snow forest, and it takes up a large portion of the top part of the globe. In any case, so a wildlife photographer for 14 hours was hiding inside of something, a little tiny thing, like some kind of a blind, and he observed a pack of wolves and bears having beef with each other.
Really?
So apparently he said that what I observed was that the wolves would come as a pack of four and they would stand and watch. One wolf would fade into the background and then follow the bears around. So the wolves, they're very territorial and they were keeping the carrion that they were snacking on in their area. Apparently some bears got wind of this.
Okay.
Decided to come in and help themselves. Now the wolves obviously didn't cotton to this.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a strategy. So first they observed the bears, seeing what they were up to and what they were doing. Then they systematically rounded up the bears and tried to drive them away from the food, whereupon they got into like a little bit of a fight. So this guy was witnessing how the alpha male and alpha female would like try to herd the bears around and separate, you know, one bear from the group and then harass that bear. This went on for like hours until finally the wolves got the better of it and forced the bear out of their territory. But it's just bizarre. And this guy got everything on film. So there's some amazing pictures of, like, wolf bear beef.
That's cool. But it's all about the food.
It's all about the food. Apparently, this is an area of Finland where no one's allowed to hunt. So it's kind of an open zone. And bears and wolves can be there freely. Unfortunately, it seems like, according to the way that Finnish people feel, the name for a wolf in Finnish means a useless thing. And wolves are associated with, like, annihilation, with loss of territory. Like, the wolves are evil. The bear, however, is celebrated.
What? That's not fair. I think wolves are pretty cool. I think wolves are cool too. I wouldn't be like it.
I have a wolf tattoo. I do not have a bear tattoo.
See?
Obviously, because they wouldn't get along on my back.
Right. Aren't you glad that you didn't have that that symbolism on your person?
And I like, though, if I had a totem animal, it would be a wolf. But they're saying here that the wolf is always represented as malicious, killing more than it can eat, which is not true. There are, I don't know of any animals in this, like, in the animal kingdom that, like, just killing stuff and, like, fucking.
Right, right.
Have a bite and move on.
So you think your totem animal or your spirit animal is a wolf?
Is the wolf.
I think mine is a lion, but it's really a koala bear. And I'm sad about that.
It's a koala on the inside?
I feel like I'm more lion. And then I'm like, I really want to say that I'm a lion.
But actually koala?
And then it's really a koala bear.
What does a koala
do? I don't
do?
Know. Nothing.
Munch.
Just, yeah.
That, well, that, isn't that what they do? They
eucalyptus, eat,
eucalyptus.
And I
love... And they're high on it all the time.
Yeah, I eat cough drops all the time. I really do. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, and, we talked about this, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have claws, which is...
Okay, also good.
Yeah, but I really want it to be a lion, but I have a sneaking suspicion that I can't go with it.
Can you split the difference? And have, like, a, you know, a koala-esque lion or a lion-esque koala?
I guess.
No? I don't know. Anyway, so, yeah.
I'll have to work on the lion aspect. And you, but you're a total wolf.
Right? I'm all about the wolf. Yeah. Lone wolves, little wolf in a pack.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, yeah, it's just really interesting. So, this is happening in the zone between Russia and Finland where bears and wolves can roam free and are actually, you know, taking it to the streets and just getting beef with each other, which I find fascinating. And if you Google it, the photographer's name is Craig Jones. The pictures are amazing. Like, he actually, like, you can see beef, side eye, like, all of these things that you shade being thrown, like, calculated, you know, herding of this animal, and it's pretty fascinating. So, I always thought that my dream of a wolf and a bear facing off was bullshit, but here we have it in the Taiga Forest.
Wow.
Very interesting.
That's really interesting.
I've always wanted to see wolves in the wild. I love wolves. I think they're fascinating. I think they have beautiful fur, but the idea of having
nice
wolf
eyes
is not interesting.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have that karma on you.
No. Not unless, like, you know, the wolf just comes over and keels over next to me.
Right.
Then I'm like, okay, use every part of the wolf.
Or if you were, like, good friends, and then, you know, one died for the other. Then you can have that as a...
Then you could work on it, you know. All right, so that's my barnyard news. A wolf and a bear. It was not raining fire from the sky. However, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's really something. Maybe your dreams do
come true.
Yeah.
Oh. Boy. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
So Tales from Der Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, ghost stories, urban legends, and we retell them here around the digital campfire.
Yeah, so gather around, listeners.
Yeah, please do.
This is called The Person at the Other End of the Room.
Oh.
2.
Okay.
I don't know why it's 2, because I couldn't even find a 1.
Okay.
So it's just 2. Maybe they deleted the 1.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Maybe they'll do a prequel.
All right. My parents bought this house when I was about 10 years old. It was built in 1920 and had been completely boarded up for at least a year before my family moved in. Yeah, that's kind of bad news.
Yeah.
There was one bedroom that was neither me nor my older 2 sisters wanted.
All right. Okay.
It was the last...
Nobody wanted
one of the bedrooms.
Yeah. Okay.
Not me, not my sister.
Nobody else.
Not the other sister.
Yeah.
It was the last bedroom on the left, and as you walk down the hall...
Where am I going? Last room on the left. Just turn left when you get there.
As you walk down the hall, and all by itself. Mm-hmm. It was in worse condition than the others, but that wasn't why none of us wanted it. It was because of the feeling you got when you entered. like somebody didn't want you there. After arguing for a while, I reluctantly agreed to take it.
Really? That's it?
Wow.
Yeah.
After the for the first couple of months, I would wake up around 4 a.m. in absolute terror for no obvious reason.
Were you scared? Like, were you, you know,
you could be scared of something out, and just because you're tired.
Yeah.
I would feel like someone was glaring at me from the other side of the room. And I always imagined it was a tall, black-haired man for some reason, probably in a suit. Anyway, this
a tall, black-haired man?
Yeah.
Who is that? Is it Christopher Walken in The Prophecy?
Probably in a suit.
That can, you know, like, okay.
Anyway, this may sound familiar to some readers because I posted a story of this back in 2010 called The Person at the Other End of the Room, but I couldn't find the story.
Wow, maybe they retracted it.
Or something like that. He doesn't even know what he wrote. But I never continued
maybe
writing.
Maybe it was like the person at the last room on the left, and that's why you couldn't find it.
The person across the hall at the other side of the door.
Not on the right.
Yeah.
Not that guy.
But I never continued writing about the events that occurred afterwards. After I witnessed my bedroom door slam shut in my face and clothes hangers.
Lizzie, I like the idea of someone. I've never had a door shut in my face, but I think as a visual gag, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
I've had a door shut.
Oh, really? I find it hilarious.
I was like, what? Oh.
Oh, I see how you did that. I'm not welcome. I'll just leave.
So, the door shut in my face and clothes hangers in my closet sway violently and heard footsteps.
Sway violently? Okay.
Yeah, you can't sway violently.
Not really. Not really at all.
And hear footsteps pace above my head.
Okay.
Whatever. After my parents saw a pile of clothes turn upside down and feel a forced push up from under their mattress, and after my dad and I on separate occasions heard an old lady's voice say, hello.
Like that?
I have to do something. That was my own interpretation of how...
Of an old lady. That was casual. Hello. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
All right, then you do the hello after when I introduce you. Okay. Ready? I heard an old lady's voice say,
hello. What? That's not legitimate. I made a choice. It was strong. It didn't work. You know? Fine.
And after we found a space behind the wall of the hall closet with various items hidden inside, and I found a coffin-sized patch of dirt in the otherwise concrete floor of the basement.
This is a lot of stuff.
After all the unexplained banging noises and windows that opened and closed by themselves,
okay.
I saw something that made me an absolute believer in ghosts.
Okay, what about all this other stuff?
I thought it wasn't enough.
I would think that someone wanted me to move out of the house.
Yeah.
You know?
Something.
So, or who cares?
An entity.
Somebody has beef with me being in this house.
So I was talking to my mom as she did laundry in the basement. As I talked, I noticed smoke appear directly behind her. Despite this, I kept talking.
What are these situations where someone's talking to you and they just kind of like lean to the side a little bit, look behind you, but don't say anything? Is that what happened? Yeah.
It's like when somebody's like, don't move.
Yeah.
You got a bug on you.
Yes.
It's like,
yeah.
Despite this, I kept on talking. It got thicker and more defined, and I noticed it didn't even move like smoke.
A lot of people would be like, I think there's a fire. Yeah. But no, this person's like, you know what? Let's just keep rolling with the conversation.
It moved in a straight line across the basement.
Okay.
And it was then that I stopped talking and stared at it as it made its way up one wall to the other. My mind was trying to come up with a rational explanation.
Okay.
I started wondering.
Should I say something?
Where the smoke could be coming from and why it was moving in a way it was.
Okay.
But then I suddenly realized that I had been what I had been staring at. It was a tall black-haired man in a suit.
Disguised as a white puff of smoke?
No, now it's like a black...
Oh, so it's become...
This dude.
Okay.
It's become... It was smoke.
Oh, he took
and then
his time.
It manifested.
Right. He took his time getting to the room.
Oh, yeah. What I was seeing was one side of his face and shoulder as he walked past me and my mom. He didn't look at me, apparently oblivious to our presence.
Okay.
My mom looked concerned and asked what I saw, but by this time she finally turned around and it disappeared. I know for certain this house is haunted.
So what do you think it was? You're pretty good at diagnosing these kind of things.
Well, it's
not a shadow person because it was there for a long time. And that's not preceded by a puff of smoke.
And it's not a poltergeist because it didn't really do well.
It didn't do anything.
Yeah, but it could be two entities. This is what I think.
Okay.
I think that there is the man who was also the smoke.
Okay.
And that's also kind of a residual haunting where they keep going through.
The same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then there's something else that is moving things around and shutting doors. That's more of a poltergeist.
So the first kind, what did you call that?
A residual haunting.
The residual haunting cannot move objects.
Mm-mm.
It just is like a...
It's actually just like
a faded film, it looks like. Like, yeah. Something is happening.
Well, and then, so actually my diagnosis is wrong because it's not a residual. Because he felt this presence of this man staring at him.
So
I'm wrong about that.
Okay.
I think
astral projection?
Yeah, it could be an astral projection.
That's where
it could
I
be just
go.
A ghost.
Oh, yeah, it could be straight up a ghost.
A ghost in a bad mood.
Puff of smoke. That's
right.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Guy with dark hair. Was he wearing a hat? No.
No.
Okay.
No hat.
I feel like he needs to be dressed in the 50s or 60s style.
Right. I'm thinking Abraham Lincoln style.
Really? With a tall hat?
Yeah.
That was not mentioned, but I'll go with it.
No, but a suit, you know, with a little tiny skinny tie.
Oh, like a bolo tie or something?
Yeah, like a bolo tie.
Or a Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like a Colonel Sanders.
That's terrible.
That's what I think. And the other thing, I don't know. But this guy's got problems.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they live in Minnesota.
Huh. Well, thank you very much. That was
You're
good. A nice part two. Hopefully at some point we'll track down part one.
Yeah.
Speaking of Colonel Sanders, when I was visiting my mom, she has very few cable channels.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the few channels was running a James Bond marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about not standing the test of time. It's embarrassing.
Really?
To watch. I watched one with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh.
So horribly sexist and not fun. Not mm-hmm. in a fun Sean Connery way.
Oh, so there's fun Sean Connery sexism versus Pierce Brosnan
because
sexism.
By the time Pierce Brosnan was doing it, people were hip to that kind of stuff was not okay.
Yeah.
And they were doing it anyway.
Like, in your face.
Yeah, and it was really bad. I mean, the whole thing was just bad. I used to love James Bond as a kid. Now, I don't think I could watch it. It was very interesting. But they had an image of in the Sean Connery, the first James Bond movie. They drove past the Colonel Sanders. Man, did he look different in the past. It used to be his gigantic head on, you know, what's now we call KFC.
And his sweet, sweet face.
Yes. His sweet slave master looking face up there with that little bow tie. That's why I was thinking about it. Because they downplayed him for a while. Now they brought him back as kind of a comic character.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, he still looks like he probably has people working in the field.
Yeah, I think they had him.
Cotton for him.
Yeah, they had to make him a comic character because he's clearly a plantation owner.
But that's also, it's comic, but it's also not comic.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they just come up with something else?
Because it's mediocre white guys who think they're funny coming up with this material.
And they get to dress up like a slave owner, which actually might be kind of humorous. I don't know. Depending on who you are. I have no idea.
Okay.
In any case. So, I wanted to talk a little bit about, I have some robot news.
Oh my God.
I find disturbing. So Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robopocalypse. It may already have happened.
I think it might have.
You know, usually we talk about Boston Dynamics, but there are a lot of other culprits in this robopocalypse. So now it's very popular now on the West Coast to have these, what they're calling retail robots. So there's a company called SoftBank Robotics, which I already don't like. It says it's a Japanese technology conglomerate,
mm-hmm.
which sounds evil.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a robot called Pepper that is supposed to interact with people in homes, but they're also putting it in businesses now. So basically Pepper, when you come into a store, Pepper is designed to engage with you. It has a big lemon shaped head.
Nice.
40% of the head is eyes, which is freaky. Which is
40%
freaky.
Eyes.
Like, the eyes are huge and round.
Now robots brought to you with 40% more
yes,
eyes.
Yes, 40% more cameras to look at you and to record what you do. And what they're going to do is they ask consumers, what are you looking for
mm-hmm.
when you come to your store? And they point you in the direction of it. But they're also, they're not for actual physical work. They're for communication and observation. And it's supposed to understand how you're saying things. So I guess for me, they'd be able to pick up on my sarcasm and my
mm-hmm.
displeasure of having to work with a toaster
okay.
instead of a human person.
Right.
So it can observe people, it can ask customers what they want, and it can ask them about their shopping experience. These are all tasks cleverly done by salespeople.
Yes,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, wow.
Actual human beings. That
yeah.
are...
So they've sold 10,000 of these things are out there.
Mm.
I haven't seen any of them yet. I feel like it's in New York, people still want face-to-face
mm-hmm.
kind of customer service.
Absolutely.
And also, we would probably steal it and run off with it.
I know.
It would be you would go over to a friend's house, and they'd be like, look what I got. It's like, what the hell, man?
Leave anything unattended,
mm-hmm.
and it will be taken.
It will be taken.
Yeah.
So there's a Lowe's is using it in San Jose. It greets customers and tells them where to find products. And they're using them in Lowe's because they say, oh, it's hard to find a salesperson. Mm-hmm. To which I say, well, you need to hire more salespeople. You're understaffed.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, you're so popular that there are not enough salespeople. Then there's another company called Nightscope, which makes robots.
That's like written, that's a 14-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. That's a company made by...
That's the robot that we reported on that ran over the kid's foot, mm-hmm. but denied it in court. So all of these like robots are out there. I haven't seen any of them at all. I don't know what they're going to do. They say here it's not going to replace salespeople. Mm-hmm. But when they list all the things the robot does, it's like greet customers, show them where products are, mm-hmm. tell them about products, ask them what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else the salesperson does in a store, yep. in the mall. That's it.
Yeah.
Like that's it. The whole
that's
job.
It. Yeah.
It says it's they're going to relieve salespeople from having to do repetitive tasks. Like directing customers to the restroom. Is that a problem?
I guess. I wouldn't go where a robot tells me to go.
No, I wouldn't. I would probably say, you know what I ask the robot? Where's a human?
Yeah.
The same thing I do when I'm online and I'm trying to get something done and they put you through to like all these things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, human mm-hmm. operator. I want to get to a human operator. So that's where they're saying this is the future. There are 10,000 of these things out there just of the Pepper robot, and there are thousands of others. I have yet to see one, probably because the ones in New York have already been smashed.
Yeah.
I haven't. Have you seen a robot in a store yet?
No. I don't want to.
The kind of stores that we go into generally in New York are too small to have a lot of people in them.
Yeah. You can't.
Let alone a robot. That would be taking up space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we go places, I mean, we shop and we get our bargains, but we also go to places where the salespeople want to make a commission.
Yeah. And you want to interact with people. Like if you're going to, for example, like, you know, a Sephora or something like that, like I don't want a robot mm-hmm. in there telling me about my colors.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You want a human being with some kind of sense.
That's what we're paying for.
Yeah.
So if they're going to put these robots in the stores, if the prices aren't cheaper, I'm not going for mm-hmm. it. Because you're supposed, you know, like if it doesn't lower the price or make something better for me, I'm not down with it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, if anyone out there has seen any of these robots, any listeners, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. You can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. I think it's mostly on the West Coast. So any West Coast people have seen one, just let us know about it.
Yeah.
Was it a positive experience? Was it a negative experience?
Yeah, we totally want to hear
about
it.
Yeah, I want to hear about it because we're not going to see it.
And we want to keep tabs.
Yes.
And we're going to have a map of the United States. And every time we hear...
In the war room.
Every time we hear where there's a robot in the store, we're going to put a pin.
Put a pin? It's probably all just going to be like California.
Yeah, right.
Around Silicon Valley. All right, what do you have?
Let's see. What do I have here? I have an advice.
Oh, advice and on advice.
Mm-hmm.
Advice on advice is a segment where we find advice on the internet that stinks.
And it's unqualified.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on that advice. Hence,
advice on advice.
Yeah. So who's the advice from this week?
This is from Dear Carolyn.
Oh, okay. Hacks or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any other?
I don't know. I just refer to it as hacks. But so Carolyn, this is from, like, I think the Washington Post.
Yeah.
So what does she have to say?
Dear Carolyn, next week my live-in boyfriend is a groomsman for his best friend's wedding in his hometown.
Okay.
I'm also going, but I'm sort of dreading it. We're staying with his parents, which is fine.
Is it? I mean, that sounds like the dread part already. Yeah. Why are you staying in a hotel?
I know, right? Just go to a hotel.
Excuse me, why? Why go to a hotel?
But because...
With the rest of the wedding party.
Yeah.
Right?
That's where you want to be. Unless it's like, you know, the Motel 6.
Yeah.
If the house is nice, what if it has a jacuzzi?
Maybe. Okay, maybe it's a better place than the hotel.
Okay. But because of his groomsman obligation, he'll be gone most of the day and has...
Uh-oh.
Asked his mom to pick me up from the airport.
I knew that this was going to be a transportation issue. Is there no Uber?
Yeah. Entertain me during the day and drive me to the wedding itself.
Okay, so...
Cabs, Ubers are not a thing where we're going. And he begged me not to rent a car, as his mom is happy to do it.
What?
Yeah. His parents are lovely, but I'm an introvert, and I'm anxious about having to be on all day.
Okay.
I'm also uncomfortable expecting them to chauffeur me around. He acknowledged my anxiety, but essentially asked me to deal with it for 24 hours because of his friend's wedding. And it's important to him. And there really aren't any other alternatives at this point.
I don't know why they didn't rent a car. Like, when I go home to visit my mom, because she lives in a very rural area, yeah. She's always like, if you guys need me to pick you up and drive you around, She's always there for that. But I like to have a car for the freedom of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I can't help but feel resentful toward him for asking me to come to this thing and pay for my own plane ticket, by the way, FYI.
Wow. Okay.
Only to abandon me with his mom. Am I being petulant?
Petulant? No. I'll answer that right there.
Should I have anticipated this before signing on? If I had, would it have mattered? In other words, is going to your significant other's best friend's wedding the kind of thing you grin and bear because it's important to him? Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do do it. But
most people don't want to go to things like that.
Yeah, but he needs to pay for the plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're staying at the parents' house, she needs to have a car.
Yeah.
And he needs to pay for that.
Yeah. They need to work something out.
And I understand maybe she could work something out like halftime with mom so they can get to know each other. Because if they're looking towards a future together and getting married themselves, she has to get to know his family.
But I think I agree with you, but it's a very high pressure situation. Remember, a wedding is looming in the background. Mm-hmm. And this is about spending time with your partner's parents alone without the buffer of the partner there and no escape. You're staying in their house.
At their mercy.
It doesn't sound like, maybe they're in a very rural area or they're in a suburban area where you can't just walk out the door and go do something. Mm-hmm. Maybe that, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like she's captive there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That sounds like a bad deal. I would rent a car anyway. What do you mean she's begged not to rent a car? Screw you. I'd get a car.
Yeah. Yeah, get a car. Just be like, I need it because I have to.
Because I want to do stuff and maybe I want to check out the area or whatever. Mm-hmm. All right, let's hear what the Hacks has to say.
Okay.
That sounds awful.
All right. There's a middle here that your boyfriend is denying you, and that's where the
car
problem is.
Yeah. Hurts.
The car and the money. And the money for the plane ticket, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes, the boyfriend's best friend's wedding is something you grin and bear for all of a day, because it is important to him. Yes. Mm-hmm. In agreement, everybody?
Yeah, we're down with that. We'll
agree.
Yeah.
But
no one said no. All the eyes, I.
But it is asking you to do so exactly on his terms, no tweaking out of respect for your temperament or your interest or your comfort. Apparently, in service of what his mother wants, that's bull.
That sounds sketchy.
Yes. And his choosing to burden you because you will complain less than his mother will, that is, well, his what he's doing, yes? It's
red
terrible
flag.
Precedent, yeah. So tell him you're not opposed to putting up with something for 24 hours when it's necessary to. Yeah, that's something you have to learn how to do.
Yeah.
You have to.
Just to put up with unpleasant people and their parents.
But you don't agree it's necessary. You don't agree it's necessary here. You can rent your own car and spend some fine time with his lovely parents and then drive to North wherever under some slight pretext for the alone time you need.
Yeah.
This is doable. He simply tells his parents this will make more sense for everyone and politely shuts them down if and when they protest. And that is totally true. This guy has to...
He has to have a word. Why should... I mean, I understand if it's... You have a relationship with your parents and you can negotiate things. But this is somebody else.
Yeah.
And it just sounds like a nightmare situation.
Yeah.
So, like, what if she doesn't get along with the parents? Mm-hmm. And then she's trapped there. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I just had to have some wine.
Yeah, we're enjoying a little white wine.
Yeah.
It's hot.
It's really hot.
Yeah. It's tasteful white wine in the small bottle.
Have to have it. So
it's
that's
a
why,
single serving.
That's why I wasn't so quick on the answer.
On the uptake.
But this is unpleasant things to come if the guy's just like, it's all me.
Yeah.
What I think is best for us.
But I don't understand why you would say don't have your own transportation.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know what I mean? I don't understand why that's a snub to his mom.
Uh-huh.
Who wants to be driven around as an adult? And who wants to drive people around? Like, you know, it's just strange to me why you would say, please don't rent a car.
And then, also having the mom do all the stuff is kind of a weird thing, too.
Yeah.
Then again, like, I had a boyfriend who, he'd buy me presents, and they were terrible presents. I mean, I was grateful for the present. It wasn't...
They were poorly picked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he didn't quite know what to buy, but he got his mom to start buying presents for me.
Was it better?
Great taste.
Oh.
So I was sad that he couldn't figure it out, but I was like, nice.
The mom stepped in.
Nice earrings.
I have a thing against, because I've had several situations where I've been dating someone and have gone to stay with them and have not had transportation, and it's never a good idea. Because inevitably you have some kind of a beef with someone in that house, and then you just have to sit there and stew.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away from the mom, and yet it usually is the mom that you have a beef with.
Yeah.
Because there's either there's threatening, you're not good enough for the son, or blah, 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 whatever. Who cares? It's two women who really have nothing in common, except that one gave birth to a guy and the other one's fucking him. So, you know what I mean? This is not exactly, you know, it's not paving the way. And
it's
they're
like,
not married.
He's like bookended between two vaginas.
Yes. And they're not married. So yeah. That investment isn't really there. The mom is just like, okay, this is somebody else who's coming through here. And like I said, the background of the wedding, people get crazy around weddings.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be there. And then the mom is going to start talking about, when are you guys getting married? It's like, hey, I'm getting in my Pinto and I'm out of here. My rental Pacer. And I'm going.
I'm just going to, I'm blasting my Celine Dion.
Yes, and my Chevette, and I'm out of here.
I'm just going to dance. Sometimes you just have to dance.
But also, too, sometimes when you go to another place, especially if it's remote, isn't it fun to have a car?
Yeah.
And drive around? Right. I don't know.
And you need the you want to explore a little bit.
Yeah.
Or not.
Or not. And maybe you guys want to do something alone, or maybe you want to, and I've done, oddly as it sounds, I've gone to weddings before and driven and been like, I'm not drinking, but I'm going to be driving. And as soon as I'm done with this, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, you know, I have my ride. I'm ready to go, as opposed to being captive. So, well, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So every once in a while, I like to report on extreme sports. And
I think every once in a while happened never.
No, we talked about Zorbing.
That's right. Yes,
we talked about extreme
my
sports.
My apologies.
At least three times extreme sports have come up. So I have some new extreme sports for you. The first one is called chess boxing.
What?
It's a combination of intellectual and physical prowess. It's the wonderful world of chess and the wonderful world of boxing. So basically, it's the brainchild of a Dutch participant, some guy. He calls himself Ieppe, the Joker. It's six rounds of chess interspersed with five bouts in the ring.
Oh.
So they play. So you can either win on the board or between the ropes with either a checkmate or a knockout. Mm-hmm. However, it's basically you play chess. You play a round of chess.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're done, you box. And then you go back to another round of chess and then you box again.
That's hilarious.
And apparently it's harder to play the chess the more times you've been boxed about the head and neck.
Well, I would imagine so.
You know, and like dancing around, this kind of thing. So a chess boxing. There's also something called air kicking. It's an extreme sport.
I do that every day when I walk.
Air kicking. It's a human catapult that launches people 26 feet into the air into a swimming pool or a foam pit. I'm not sure what a foam pit is.
Well, I wouldn't want to be launched 26 feet above a foam pit.
26 feet into a foam
pit. Yeah, but that's not good enough.
Or into a swimming pool.
Pool's okay.
Air kick works, propelling participants through the air on a pre-calculated parabolic trajectory. So they supposedly have figured this out. But I'm sure at least one person has missed the foam pit. At least. So they sit in a specifically constructed seat at the back end of a catapult, and then they pull it back, as one does, I guess, with a catapult, and they fling themselves forward. That's
all right.
That's the sport.
Can you fling yourself backwards?
Hopefully not.
Yeah.
That's like a Warner Brothers cartoon thing, right? You flung yourself. There's another one here, Wife Carrying World Championship. It's a Finnish competition where you have to carry a wife.
Can it be yours or someone else's,
okay. But it must be a wife.
It must be a married woman.
Yeah, and then you run with that person on your back. That's a sport. Another one I couldn't believe is underwater rugby. It's exactly like rugby, but the ball is weighted and it's underwater. They also have underwater hockey.
Do they play that in a pool, like a shallow end?
No, not in a shallow end.
Really?
It's just in a regular pool, and they do everything underwater.
Oh, that's really hard.
Bizarre. There's another one called Man versus Horse. It sounds like a Western.
Sounds like a show.
Yeah. It's in Wales. It's a race called it's a Man versus Horse marathon, and it's sadly exactly what it sounds like. It's 22 miles, a lot of obstacles, slopes, you go into the forest. Really difficult terrain, and it's people and horses race.
Against each other.
I don't know if the horses know what's going on, or if the horses are just fucking running.
And the horse wins, because they're like, I have four legs.
No, it doesn't always win, because some of the obstacles are difficult for horses, and some of the obstacles are difficult for man.
Okay.
So, a man, can you imagine racing a horse? Why? Anyway, Wales. Two more I have for you. One is called cheese chasing, also called cheese rolling. takes place every year in Gloucester, England, where I have been, actually, on Cooper's Hill. I've been to this place. I did not know that they rolled cheese there. Mm-hmm. I would say let's add some wine into that.
Yeah. But, oh, right.
So they have a wheel of cheese that is 8 pounds, and they roll it down a hill, and then people run after this cheese. It's quite often that people break limbs and injure each other. Whoever gets the cheese at the end wins. Mm-hmm. The cheese and, I guess, fame. I don't know. And then the last one is something called buzkashi. It's like polo, but instead of a ball, mm-hmm. they play with a goat with no head. It is the national sport of Afghanistan and Kyrgyzstan.
I've heard of this, actually. Yes.
The one I heard of was wrestling on horseback.
I thought they played with a goat's head.
No, this is a headless goat.
A headless goat. Okay.
That you might be looking at another stand that does this, but this is Afghanistan and Kyrgyzstan.
Okay.
So, similar to polo, they have two teams. They're on horseback. Yeah, but instead, they don't use a mallet or a ball. It's just a dead calf or a goat with the head cut off. They just try to grab it.
They don't want to look in the eyes.
Yes. They just try to grab it and they pass it around. And then they try to fling it into some kind of a goal.
Okay.
I knew that in Uzbekistan, I've always wanted to go there, not only to watch their national sport, which is wrestling on horseback, which is, come on, that's fucking macho. Mm-hmm. Dudes, really? Wrestling on horseback? Wrestling on horseback.
That's macho? That's what you're calling
in
it?
In the most, traditional sense of what macho is. That, to me, is the craziest macho thing. There's no point to it.
Are they shirtless?
They are shirtless.
Okay.
They are two shirtless dudes galloping, full going at it, next to each other, on horseback. And then they wrestle each other.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird. Who thought of that?
They were obviously drinking. I have no idea, but it's like, what else could you do? Unless they were doing shots as well, it couldn't be more macho. Mm-hmm.
And eating steak.
Yes, and eating a steak. They're just drinking grain alcohol and wolfing down rare steaks as they wrestle on horseback. That's going to be that's the hikey stand sport.
Yeah, right.
The official sport. Bizarre.
Oh, my God.
All right, what do you have?
Well, this is
Speaking of wrestling on horseback.
I know. I had to stop myself. This is listener mail.
Okay.
And it's from your husband, Greg.
Oh, awesome. What's he got to say?
So from time to time, Greg will email, hey, you know it.
Not me.
Not you.
Because sometimes it doesn't get through. I have a higher, Heike has a lower threshold for mail.
The subject is Mayor Walsh is hosting a beer garden at City Hall Plaza.
Who?
Mayor Walsh.
Who's Mayor Walsh?
From Massachusetts.
Okay.
And the
email. My husband's home state, by the way. He's a masshole, as they say.
Hey, First Ladies. He writes.
He knows how to get something red on the air. I'll give you that. That's an attorney for you. Butter them up.
When I'm not listening to Hey You Know It, I got WAAF out of Boston, Mass. In my ears and got this from them. Yo, de Blasio, where's our damn beer? And then he sends a link. So I'm like, I'm intrigued.
Okay,
de Blasio is the mayor of New York City, and he's asking, where's the beer?
Yeah.
And the article is...
If I know de Blasio, it's going to be a couple years late, that beer.
All right. So what's happening? You can grab a pint with Boston's mayor on Wednesdays and chow down on food from Roxy's Grilled Cheese and... Double chin.
That sounds colonial.
So
you know what I mean?
You've read about the boat blowouts, but have you wondered what a party hosted by Mayor Marty Walsh would look like?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder no more. Boston's mayor is hosting Beer Garden on the bricks at City Hall Plaza this Wednesday.
It's come to that in politics, so they got to give people free booze and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, man. Right?
So colonial.
To welcome this summer weather with local food and drink, live entertainment, and a few party games for good measure, the bash is amongst events that are part of the mayor's effort to make the plaza a more viable event space.
Oh, just side note, have you ever seen this plaza?
Maybe.
It's awful. It is one of these gigantic, big, open municipal spaces. Uh-huh. It's like bricked over. There's not a piece of shade anywhere to be found.
It's like beating down on
you. It's just like open plaza.
Yeah. So if you go there, there's going to be food now. There's going to be grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese?
And other food, courtesy of Pop-Up Bar by Wonder Lush Cocktail Catering.
Okay.
There'll be pints from local area breweries.
Sam Adams will be featured.
Yeah, so they're having this whole beer garden right down there in front of the City Hall.
Wow, that's cool.
So he's saying, Mayor de Blasio, wouldn't you?
Where's our beer garden?
Yeah, we don't have one.
Also, there's City Hall in Manhattan. There's nowhere to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do it in Brooklyn, maybe, because there's like a plaza there. Yeah. Downtown, but yeah, City Hall in New York City, in Manhattan, is just like cordoned off.
Yeah, but what they're trying to do in New York, and you've seen this, and listeners, they will, they're closing down streets and parts of the streets and extending the sidewalk into the street.
Yeah, pedestrianizing it.
Yeah, food trucks and
stuff. But it's not like free beer and cheese from the mayor. No. This is for tourists. I would like to see a New York only party.
Yeah, like, so, yeah, you're a tourist. You have to show
no
ID.
Tourists. You have to be from the metro area.
Yeah.
You got to show ID. Well, but we wouldn't give beer, though. This is Manhattan.
What would we give?
Champagne? Champagne?
Champagne. No, we would.
What would be a New York drink? I don't know.
Hmm.
I have to think about that one.
Yeah, we'll have to think about it. I would almost say beer, but no.
It's not really beer. No. Not that people don't drink beer in New York, because people in New York definitely do, mm-hmm. but I can't. And I think of, like, a New York drink. I don't know what it would be.
It's got to be some kind of cocktail.
Yeah, something. Oh, we'll have a thing.
Not wine.
That. Not wine.
Because that's for France.
Yeah. I don't know. What do we have? Rum?
No.
Tequila?
Tequila,
a
no.
A large Spanish population. No. I don't know.
If you think about all the spirits.
Vodka?
Vodka is Russian.
Gin?
I don't know where that came from.
But we drank, I mean, we drank a lot of it here.
You know, but tequila's, you know.
Yeah, that's a Mexican thing.
And rum is a Jamaican thing.
I don't know about that.
Caribbean thing.
I think about that. So what is a New York drink?
What is a New York drink? What is a New York alcohol? What do we associate?
With New York. I don't know. Maybe that's a question to be answered by people who are not from New York.
Yeah.
Because I think we're too close to it.
Right. So if you feel like it is beer, if you feel like it's something else, what is your opinion?
Is it gin? Is it Four Loko? I don't know.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
You know what? It's a 40 in a paper bag.
It's a 40 in a paper bag. You're totally right. Yep. It's a 40 ounce.
It's a 40 ounce.
That's something everyone can enjoy outside with a paper bag.
That is New York. You get it at a bodega and anybody can have it.
A single beer.
A 40 ounce beer in a paper bag.
It's a working woman's drink. The real woman's drink in New York is a 40 ounce. Or as we used to call it, a 40. They're probably not even cheap anymore. I can't remember the last, I think the last time I had a 40 ounce. Might have been when I was in college, and when they had such horrible 40-ounce things like Crazy Horse, you know, Old English, and this kind of thing.
Right.
Like really just low-quality, bad 40 ounces. But we loved them. They were cheap.
They were cheap, and it was so exciting to put it in a paper bag and walk around.
And the
naughty.
Paper bag was huge, so you knew it was a 40-ounce.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a little, you know, single, you know, little beer situation.
Because the law is you can't walk around in the city drinking openly, but you could if it was in a paper
bag.
But everybody knew it, and the cops knew it, and they're like, all right.
Well, I think the cops would, like, put a bag on it.
Yeah.
Bag that, please, so we don't have to be bothered. That's interesting, a New York drink. Hmm.